At U 98.5 FM, and joining me now, first to kind of explain it a bit, it is the most comprehensive evaluation of what conclusively shows as dodgy vote counting in the US 2004 presidential elections. To start us off, scoop.co.nz's Alistair Thompson joins us. Good morning, Alistair.
Good morning.
Now, what is this all about? Urban legend, election 2004 versus the white ghosts of New York City.
Well, at its most fundamental, this is a story which is about the 2004 US presidential election, which there is some been long held concerns amongst some of the online media about whether the result was made any sense. Mm. And fundamentally, the white ghost of New York City is about the fact that according to the official election results as published in the newspapers, and utilising both the turnout figures and the national election polls, the exit polls, they found that George Bush was elected in the cities. He was elected in the centres, the core of the large US cities,
mm.
which is a predominantly working class and ethnically diverse neighbourhood, which typically he doesn't do very well in. And he, in fact, received something like 4 or 5 million new votes in that area, according to the officially declared results. And those people just don't exist. According to the exit poll, those people must have been white, and there just isn't enough white people in the middle of the big US cities to have voted for him in that way.
Now, Scoop's been working on this for quite some time.
Yes.
And well, joining us now is someone else who knows quite a bit about it, who's the author of Fooled Again, Mark Crispin Miller. He's over in the States. Good morning. Are you there, Mark?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm good. Now, Alistair, have you met Mark? We'll do the introduction first.
We haven't formally. We've met online several years ago, actually, and when Scoop published a story back in 2003 where we uncovered the innards of the Diebold voting machines, which are touchscreen voting machines which don't record any paper or any evidence of what the ballots were counted. And so consequently, afterwards, you've only got a computer record of the votes, and that can easily be manipulated.
Mm. And there has been a call for recounts, and a lot has happened since that election.
Since the 2004 election, there was recounts in Ohio, which were rigged, and people have since gone to jail in Ohio for rigging the recounts to prevent there being a recount, if it's quite difficult to explain. But basically, they had little wee sample recounts, and if there was a very small discrepancy in the sample recount, then they would have to conduct a full recount in that place, that county. And what happened was that they held all these sample recounts all over the place, and they all came out exactly right.
Mm.
And it turned out that there was video evidence of the voting machine manufacturers instructing the people who were doing the recount how to make sure that they got exactly the result that they wanted, which was just obviously completely crooked. So, yeah, some people have gone to jail for that now, so it's quite interesting, really.
Mark, how have you found all of this?
Well, first let me say that Scoop's work is really indispensable. They've done a great deal to shed light on this enormous scandal.
Mm.
I can't actually think of a scandal more serious than the subversion of the democratic process. I would go so far as to say that Alistair is a great, great American, and I say that without any intention to insult him. Speaking of great Americans, I want to make clear to your audience that despite the silence of the press in this country since the 2004 election, there is abundant, specific, public evidence that George Bush lost the election by a considerable majority. Now, you know, when people hear news like Alistair's news, they think, well, it must have been a close election, and Bush probably squeaked by, maybe questionably, in one state, the state of Ohio. The fact is that from coast to coast, on every front, at every level, there was a concerted effort to subvert the will of the electorate in this 2004 election. Bush was not terribly popular with the Republican Party. As I point out in my book, fooled again. There were many, many eminent Republicans, some of them quite right-wing, who publicly urged people not to vote for Bush. 60 newspapers that had backed Bush in 2000 now refused to back him in 2004. And there's all sorts of other evidence like this. The fact is that Kerry was predicted to win in every pre-election poll. The tipsters in Las Vegas and on Wall Street all predicted a Kerry victory, and they have always been right. The exit polls suggested that Kerry won in some 10 states. And then all of a sudden, as if by magic, this highly unpopular president pulled it out of the hat. And it had to do with a whole range of tricks. Scoop's news story demonstrates that there was clearly the concoction of Republican votes. And in state after state after state, there were serious problems that prevented countless people from voting because of machine breakdowns, shortages of machines, etc. And let me make very clear that in every single case, and we're talking here about hundreds of problems, in every case, the benefit went to the Republicans, which is statistically impossible unless this was indeed part of an anti-democratic conspiracy, which, you know, I salute you for talking about, and which I and others here have been trying to get the press to deal with for quite some time. I think it's slowly breaking open, but it's so frightening. It is so enormous a problem that our establishment is sort of understandably afraid to go there, and I think we're dealing with a kind of denial.
But, Mark, I mean, say that people are afraid to go there, and obviously they got away with it in 2004. They're not getting away with it because you're talking about it, but, you know, has it been going on for a long, long time? What can we do about it?
Election fraud is very old. You know, any student of democracy will tell you that you know, it's not a new thing, and both parties have done it. I'm an independent. I don't trust political parties myself. But what we've seen since Bush seized power in 2000, and let's remember that he was appointed president by our Supreme Court, even though he'd lost the popular vote by at least 3 million votes. Ever since 2000, our elections have been screwy and suspicious. They have relied increasingly on computerized voting machines. What must be done about this, not just for the sake of American democracy, but I believe for the welfare of the entire planet, is that this story must be told. Because the people do care about it. When they find out what's been going on, they become impassioned and relentless in their efforts to try to get the establishment to face the facts. We need election reform. And I'm not talking about anodyne measures like putting a paper trail on voting machines. That's basically useless. I'm talking about, you know, giving control and oversight of the election system to the people, not to the parties.
But how can that be done, Mark? I mean, if you can get people passionate about it and talking about it, but how can it be done? This is breaking something that has been going, as you say, for many, many years. It's not a new thing.
Well, that's absolutely true. Slavery was in place for years and years. We got rid of that. The British monarchy was in control of this country and yours, you know, for a very long time. We got rid of that. I mean, I believe sufficiently in democracy to think that if and when the
possible.
People decide they want to change, they'll do something about it.
This is something which grassroots do have direct influence over, in the sense that they, political activists of all colors, are working with their democratic representatives on the election machinery all the time. Mm. So if they all insist on saying, at our precinct level, at our county level, at our city level, we're not going to put up with this, we're not going to have electronic machines with really, really dodgy software that take all night to produce the results. And I mean, the not only was the election in 2006 probably also dodgy, but it was also showed just how flawed these machines were. They're enormously expensive. They don't produce the results in any sort of sane fashion. What we do in New Zealand, which is straight paper counting of our ballots, is now being seriously considered by, and it's being proposed by one of the presidential candidates, and it's being discussed quite widely, I think. The Congress of the United States has currently got a bill which has got 212 sponsors, which means it can probably get to the floor and be voted on. There's serious flaws in that bill, but there's probably a move to fix it, and I don't know, Mark could talk about that a bit. One of the other things, Mark, I'd like to ask you is how's the book sales going?
Oh, my book?
Hmm.
Did you ask how it's doing?
Yeah.
Well, it's doing surprisingly well for a book that's been completely blacked out by the press. And I'm not the only one. In fact, in the new edition, the paperback edition, there is a long afterword that answers your question. It tells exactly what happened not only to my book, but to other really important books on the 2004 election, books I'm sure you know, Steve Freeman's book, mm-hmm. Bob Fitrakis's book. There's a book by a guy named David Moore, who's an eminent pollster and has the inside story of how the 2000 election was stolen. My afterword tells the appalling tale of how the press across the board has either ignored these books or actually attacked them. And this includes the left press in my country, I'm sad to say. The left press has been quite poor at focusing on this issue. Therefore, in order to bring this matter to public attention, those of us who've done this work have been traveling nonstop all across the country, speaking out, doing local radio shows. And we have actually made a difference, demonstrably. But you know, we're really up against something very, very daunting, which is the silence of the establishment. I'm therefore extremely grateful to Alistair for doing the work he's done through the Internet, and I'm grateful to you for having me on the show. This must actually be an international movement. This is not just an American problem. Mexico's election was stolen last year. There is serious question about Sarkozy's election in France, particularly in the east of France, where over 1 million voters used these kinds of machines. It is in the interests of certain anti-democratic elements to work around the will of the electorate. This really isn't anything new, but these computers have enabled this kind of thing to take place with unprecedented sophistication. And so I think, you know, we've got to start talking to each other across national borders here in order to preserve democracy, which, you know, I passionately believe in, and I know Alistair does, and I think the future of the planet really depends on it.
Well, the 2004 election was very international. I mean, a lot of people were very emotionally, or very passionately, as you put it, involved in it, due to, though, you saw protests. And do you feel that that's going to be able to be spread again once you're
well,
book and you're talking?
I can only hope so. I can only hope so. You know, I think we have, just speaking of the American left, there has been a tendency to give our revolution short shrift. I guess they think it was too bourgeois, and a lot of those guys were slave owners. I mean, you know, there's a lot of really serious spins on the American conscience. But the American Revolution per se, the system of checks and balances, the separation of church and state, constitutional protections, the right to habeas corpus, all the things that Bush and Cheney have been deliberately... I would very much like to see the kind of, you know, loud and ever louder global movement you describe. But, you know, first of all, I have to get the American people at least to know what's been happening, which is another reason why works like Scoops, you know, work such as Scoops work is so important. And I've done everything I can to make people aware of it. My own website is just markcrispinmiller.com. Of course, I've posted Scoops work there. I always have. And I urge people to try to get hold of the paperback edition of Fooled Again, which is quite up to date, and also goes into the rampant fraud and vote suppression tactics that went on in the 2006 election when the Democrats did win a number of seats, but they actually won, as far as I'm concerned, more than twice as many seats as they think. And if people want a really powerful analysis of that race along the lines of Scoop's new piece, they should look for an essay online called Landslide Denied. Just do a Google search on that, by Jonathan Simon and Bruce O'Dell. It uses a very similar methodology to Michael Collins's and the Scoop piece, and it makes quite clear that the fix was in, that the Republicans managed to give themselves a bit more power even now than they really deserved at the people's hands.
Thank you so much for your time, Mark.
Thank you. Thanks, Alistair. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you.
And Alistair, do you think that Scoop will be continuing on with this for quite some time now?
Well, we'll continue to be following this. We've been following it for about 5 years now, and we'll keep following it as we do. One thing I'd just like to say at the very end, though, is the essence of what we've published yesterday and the story which is sort of percolating through the independent media in the States today is that we have a situation where in the Bush administration have got, I mean, they've spent enormous amounts of time and effort suppressing the vote in the very community where they were elected. So, according to, I mean, we all know that they were caging voters, they were chucking people off the voters' lists, they were obstructing people by having long queues for machines, there wasn't enough machines, all these various identity laws, all of which were designed to suppress the vote in the very community, which, according to the election results, elected George Bush. And they elected George Bush by a huge and very, very unusual majority. It's just...
But who's
previously been talked about?
Yeah, who's to be held accountable, ultimately, if anyone, or is it just a matter of just making change?
Well, there are people. Yeah, so is that Mark still there?
Thank you so much, Alistair, for your time. And Mark's still.
Mark,
no,
you said
Mark's gone. We've lost Mark.
Okay, so you're just going to say something. Who's to be held accountable? I mean, the U.S. Electoral infrastructure is controlled by secretaries of state within the democratic process, and they have locally elected boards of election in all their individual counties and their individual, to some extent, even on a precinct level, there's an ability to directly affect how the elections are conducted. But it is possible for the democratic process to fix this. It just requires there to be attention on it. And as Mark was saying, although there's difficulty getting... There has been, after the 2004 election, there was a story on the front page of the New York Times, the front page feed, which said, basically, bloggers are sort of saying whole lots of quite dodgy things about the election. And it was about 2.5 weeks later. Now, so it is actually percolating through to the mainstream media. But they're not... and they're beginning to take it seriously. They're beginning to realise that the level of just... mendacity within the election infrastructure industry is such that they need to do something about it, and it's starting to change,
and we can hope for change. Well, we'll keep our eyes and ears peeled on it, and thank you so much for talking to us, Alistair, and thank you for releasing the information, and also Mark. So we'll catch up with you soon. That's scoop.co.nz's Alistair Thompson, and also author of Fooled Again, Mark Crispin Miller, talking about what possibly could be the most comprehensive evaluation of what conclusively shows as dodgy vote counting in the US 2004 presidential elections.